Memorandum on Art.
Committee will please come to order Thursday, February 16th, 1989, at 8:35. Let the record show that Representative Hudson, Representative Brusendorf, Representative Lehman, and Chairman Representative Cato are in attendance. Have all the witnesses who care to speak signed the register. It's at the end of the table. We would appreciate you doing so if that's the case. We have HCR 2 in front of us, I jumped over a word. Related to the Alaska Marine Highway System Master Plan. Where's Clyde hiding? Oh, I see him. Clyde, would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Remember that waffle Pappy used to have on his tractor? Do you remember?
Waffle?
On his desk in the chambers.
Yes, I do.
Would you see if you can get hold of that for me?
I'll see what I can do.
Okay, great. See, you never lose your identity down here. It always sticks to you somewhere or another. This bill is Representative Hudson's bill, myself, Ulmer, Grusendorf, Miller, Schultz, and Menard. I think inasmuch as Representative Hudson is the prime sponsor, that we'll give him the opportunity first to address the bill.
Madam Chair, would it be all right to address it right from here?
Oh, I think we could be that informal. I don't think we're going to insist you get down the witness chair. Please give your name and what you do for a
living. For the record, my name is Bill Hudson, representing the District 4 here in Juneau. I guess, Madam Chair, that I've been on the Transportation Committee now for 2 years running, and this is my third year. And, of course, I have a background that tends to make me stick my nose into ferry business because of not too many years ago I was sitting in George Davidson's seat as the director of the ferry system back in from 1974 to 1979. In 1979, I moved up into the cabinet of Governor Hammond when he was reelected. This bill is a pretty straightforward, simple bill, but I think it's really quite important in that it calls for the presentation, that is the development, the adoption of a master plan that has some long-term thinking for the Alaska Marine Highway System, and further it calls for that master plan to be submitted to the legislature for review and approval. And that's a little different twist in this whole business than we've had in the past, in that most of the plans that are prepared are certainly presented to us, but it's pretty much given to us as a sort of it's an accomplished situation, and then we have to deal with it. So what I'm trying to do is to create some advanced planning with some substance to it that will help not only the administration but the general public and the legislature deal with the future growth and the forward looking of the ferry system, generally speaking, throughout the state. The ferry system being our highway in southeast Alaska and up in southwest Alaska and various portions there. This bill calls for, number one, it talks a little bit about some of the frustrations that the legislature has had, in that there have been plans prepared. There's been, I think, several hundred thousand dollars spent on developing plans for the ferry system, but they've never been consummated. That is, they've never been completed once they've done. And so you see the legislature appropriating $4.9 million on page 2, on line 18. You see the Department of Transportation Public Facilities expending $600,000 of that appropriation. I could have put down in here the legislature appropriating several million dollars for the replacement of the Tustamina, and nowhere will you find that on the six-year plan today. So where's the money for it? The whole idea is that the bucks have kind of come and gone and moved from here to there, and there hasn't been any consistent application. So we tell that the and we've also been told that there was going to be a master plan. I think it was in January this last year, one of our members, or perhaps one of the staff of our members, had approached the commissioner, and the commissioner said, "You bet, it's right here on my desk. I've got the draft, and it should be done within a matter of a month or two." Well, here we are now into another session, and it's 12 months later, and we still don't have it. So this bill calls for a time specific for the governor to direct DOT and obviously the Marine Highway System to submit the master plan to the legislature for review and approval by April 15, 1989. I think we'll hear from the administration as to whether or not that's capable. We also ask that the plan include, among other things, community and user comments and recommendations. It's been my feelings that the ferry system needs to take a stronger look at the spin-off value, that is, the side effect that it has on the communities that it serves in Southeast Alaska, and I've been pretty vocal on that respect. I presented a white paper over a year ago now, and I presented it to the administration, to George, to Commissioner Hickey, with the understanding and the idea that it'd be a stimulus to try to get them to begin to move into looking at the ferry system over a long-term basis. So we're looking at things like the Marine Highway employee recommendations, consideration of road alternatives, not only here in Juneau, but also down out of Wrangell-Petersburg and out of Ketchikan. Some of the interim plans, I guess we'll have to call them at this time since they've never been fully developed and drafted or adopted, have called for consideration, long-term consideration, of a series of roads and or fast ferries and then better, more efficient use of the mainline ferries. The mainline ferries and the continuation of a mainline ferry concept is probably going to provide us on a long-term basis the least service at the greatest cost, because the costs continue to escalate without increasing any additional service. The road out of Cordova, for example, I think has been at least presented to the department for many years, and yet it's, you know where it's at better than I do. The reason we need a master plan is because, absent a master plan, everybody within every district tries to develop their own plan. And the ferry system in Southeast Alaska cannot be Sitka's, Juneau's, Ketchikan's independent idea. It's got to be our idea, because the ships have to interplay and interact among ourselves. So, Madam Chair, that's all this says. It just says, you told us you were going to give us one a year ago. You told me you got a draft for it. We've appropriated money for aspects of it. We look at the six-year plan, and none of that stuff is, well, not none of it, but some of that stuff doesn't exist in the six-year plan. So get on a stick, finish it up, and give it to us, and we'll be happy with it.
Let the record show that Representative Foster's in attendance. Representative Grusendorf, did you have a remark or two you wanted to make also?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Hudson, I notice on your resolve clause, page 3, line 19, or 8, actually it's 18, the date April 15, 1989. Is this on the assumption that this plan that we've been waiting for from DOT will be the basis for this?
Yes. Yes, that we've been told that the master plan was, and I can't remember, but recently I think somebody indicated that it was sitting on one desk that was only one desk away from the commissioner's side. And so the idea here, Representative, was to get something to the legislature during this session, which we could take a good look at it, have a little review and maybe some debate on it, and hopefully review and acceptance.
Madam Chair, so in other words, that this plan that DOT president has been working on for the last 16 months, 12 months, comply with what you're...
Well, if it doesn't comply entirely, Representative, then because I have specified some areas down here that I think are quite important that we want to review, they would have to obviously try to take a look at this. I think that the user comments have been prepared as late as last year in a community needs assessment, at least in Southeast Alaska, and I'm not so sure about up north. The marketing, advertising, promotional plan, when they accepted move to Bellingham, I think that there's already a plan in motion there. So I thought it would be good to get it all together and let us see it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, Representative Brewster. Mr. Davidson, who is the director of the Marine Highway, I'll probably end up, George, calling you representative or something else for the days.
Or something else, maybe.
I see that you do like, would like to talk to us. I'd love to have you talk to us.
For the record, I'm George Davidson. I'm the director of Alaska Marine Highways. And I brought, as you see, a few things to read to you today. I hope you don't mind. But seriously, you should have all received a position paper. And before we talk about it, on the front page under item 7, there's a minor typo correction. The concur appears under the disagree column, and it's actually under the agree column. The basic goal, I believe, of HCR 12, I think Representative Hudson has indicated, you know, kind of to give us a push in the right direction and make sure that we accomplish what we've been promising you that we would. And I think, I assume this will go through and be passed wherever it has to be passed, but whether it does or doesn't, you've accomplished your goal, because we are back on track. We have our project manager, Stan McAllister, will be dedicated to this project until it's finished now. And as you see on the position papers, the only two that that we had some concern about were items 3 and items 4 on the resolution. Item 3 has to do with consideration of the road alternatives as part of the transportation planning process. And what I brought this morning was this is the Southeast Transportation Plan that was done through John Scribner's office, which was a predecessor for the master plan. And so basically what this comment says is that we have taken this as a basis, and we're dovetailing our work in it, and we're recommending that we not be required to go back through this portion of it for two reasons. One is because of the cost, and two, because of the great amount of time it would take to upgrade it. This is a synopsis of what all is in the rest of these documents. Then the item 4, as part of the draft master plan, or as part of the master plan, environmental impacts in a broad sense have been reviewed, and what our recommendation there is that as we develop specific projects and specific environmental concerns would be reviewed in detail. And I don't know, but I suspect Representative Fleeman would probably, with his engineering background, would probably agree that that would be a more productive way to do it, rather than try to look at all the potential projects right now and do all the environmental things and try to have it done by April 15th. Just to prove to you that there is such a document, that's the draft master plan. Stan will be reviewing things that have changed. For example, at the time that this started, there were two vessels running out of Seattle. Since that time, of course, there's one vessel running out of Seattle, but now we're in the process of changing the Bellingham also. So those portions of it, of course, have to be changed in addition to the other aspects. One of the primary importance for completing the master plan, of course, is to allow us to access the money that Representative Hudson has indicated has been authorized under the federal aid program. Until the federal highways adopts or agrees to our master plan, then the work that we proposed for studying the fast ferries and other alternates are not accessible to us. So it does have an importance to us also for furthering our work. In the resolution, you also talk about condition surveys as an annual operation. We perform shoreside condition surveys of all the facilities that we have, and so there will be no problem in meeting that criteria also. Basically, unless we're given some other mandated priorities. We have two people in our planning department, and Stan, of course, is now going to be dedicated to this. We have Randy, who is dedicated right now to analyzing the the various costs of the mainline vessels, what happens to them in, when they're in layup status and when they're not in layup status. So they're both on mandated conditions. So as long as we're not given another mandated condition, we feel we can meet your April 15th deadline.
All right. Are there any questions, Mr. Davidson? Representative Grusenberg.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. In other words, you're saying point three here, consideration of load alternatives, that your load alternatives presently are in the Alaska Transportation Plan.
That's great.
And being that the title of this resolution is confined to the marine highway system, in order to make you feel comfortable with complying with it, that would have to be altered or removed.
Or direct us to dovetail it to the existing Southeast Transportation Plan. You would know more about that.
Then on your fourth point, that's actually what triggered point four there on where, you know, further let it be resolved. And I looked at April 15th, I looked at environmental impacts on potential things, wondering how in the world we're going to do that. So to make you comfortable, you're thinking about maybe just some preliminary environmental comments?
Sure. Check with Stanford. I believe they've already, it's been addressed in the preliminary document in a broad brush type of way, and then what we're saying is that as they become site-specific, we're then working on them in detail.
Representative Hudson.
Madam Chair. Yes. George, perhaps under item 12, a discussion of the relationship between the AMHS master plan and the state transportation long-term plan would get us down to the point. You see, what I'm hitting at here, George, is that locally here, we have the Chamber of Commerce and we have the city government trying to get a whole bunch of volunteer service people to go out there and analyze. We have another bill that calls for a road out of Juneau North here. It's Senator Coghill's bill that Red Swanson's been working on for some time. And so what I was looking for here is that I believe that those kind of approaches to the road issue don't do the whole subject proper justice, because it ends up polarizing the community and it's asking the community to do the work that I felt was the department's work. So if you're telling me that you think that those road alternatives are adequately covered in other documents, if you'll provide us with a copy of that document and indicate if the department will provide us with a copy of the document and indicate that these are the proposals recommended and adopted by the commissioner, then I would take that as such. But absent that, I end up with my community at any rate, and I think quite frankly the same thing with Ketchikan, and there have been other road proposals, for example, that would link Sitka with the other side of the island and things like that. It's time that we got enough public input to really come up and say, this is what we have, this is you know, the vessel's condition and the system's condition, and here are some of the problematic cost factors that are maybe detracting from service or that are going to continue to escalate and maybe decrease service, and here's our plan on how to deal with that, and here's our what we're going to require over a series of time, over a period of time. And you'll see this in the six-year plan as we go along. And the commissioner adopt this. Let us take a look at it. We can either stamp an approval on it. If there are changes, we know there'll be changes over time. Those changes should be presented back to, if not us, the next transportation committee for review and hopefully approval. And then we all work down together. And as my constituents ask me, you know, well, what's going to happen around here, you will have given me what your job calls for you to do, the plan, and we can proceed. See.
Yes.
Representative, I don't disagree with you, and this is the official plan. And this particular document is the Lynn Canal Taku River analysis. This was adopted, and I guess, you know, from our standpoint, as you've indicated, there's 100 ideas. Matter of fact, I could probably throw out 50 of my own that haven't been considered yet, and we probably spend our whole time chasing those. So basically what we're saying is, as of right now, this is the official stand of the DOT, and so our master plan will dovetail to the recommendations as found in the Southeast Transportation Plan. Now, as the Economic Development Council, the engineers, Representative Red Swanson, and others propose their things, if they're proven to be valid, then I suspect you'll see Scribner shop go through a modification of these, which will then precipitate modification of ours. We don't have any doubt that on the master plan, that from the day it's adopted, we'll probably start changing it, because it's going to be a dynamic thing, because the system is changing. We get new requirements every day. So its primary goal is to try to put a rudder on the ship, so to speak, to keep us going pretty much the same direction, and also to access those federal funds so that we can look further into the fast areas.
Madam Chair, George, that's exactly why I presented this thing, was to require that we put a rudder on the ship and that we satisfy the federal. We can't even go to the federal government asking, for example, for a fast ferry or for design monies for a fast ferry or anything else until you have adopted a master plan. That's what we've been told by the federal government.
Until they've approved it.
Until they've approved it. But also until it's been adopted by the commission. So we just want to see that as well, and I appreciate the work. I had not seen, for example, some of the assessment, shoreside assessment.
I could leave this whole stack here. It has...
We'll read it tomorrow.
It has, you know, specific, like on the Sitka access.
You see, one thing that this is bringing out, that I didn't know there was a Sitka access study, and what it's doing is pulling some of those damn studies off the shelf. Because you've evidently pulled them all off the shelf, George.
What I've been doing is I think Representative Krusendorf will recall, I try to take these when I go to the different towns to let them know that these things are available, and I've made copies available to some. These are actually primarily John Scribner's documents. We have to get them from him, but I try to make those available to everybody that...
what I'm saying is, George, that obviously the legislature's paid for those studies, and most of us don't know that those studies are available. And what you're doing is making us recognize that they are available. Because I know that we've instructed study after study after study, and sure, they send us a copy in the middle of October when somebody's in Florida on vacation, and here's your copy of this study, and who in the hell ever looks at it? I like that very much.
I'll leave these with you.
Well, Madam Chair, if I might, then if I hear you right, Ms. Davidson, you're saying that item 3, consideration of road alternatives, should not be in this draft because it's already contained in one of the Southeast transportation plans, one or more.
That's correct.
And to me, at any rate, that would satisfy my interest, the fact that you've just shown us, for example, a Sitka plan, which I had never seen either, at least the details in that respect. And then the assessment of environmental impacts, I presume at any rate there must be some statements within the studies that you have of environmental impact, or at least preliminary environmental impact.
Is that correct? Says that we have it in our...
So I don't see any needs to change what we have in here. It sounds to me like you've got it all together. You just need to...
As long as you're not looking for specific and detailed environmental analysis at specific sites.
All right.
I can comment. I like having 3 and 4 in there, but I think we should recognize what they should contain. I think under 3, and if I could address our witness directly, on the consideration of road alternatives, I would suggest that we have a summary, perhaps no more than 2 or 3 pages in there, that summarizes the road alternatives considered by others. I'd like to see that master plan almost be a standalone document and reference the other documents. So whoever reads it can say, oh, yes, these other documents exist. This is consistent with the other documents. So you're not reconsidering the alternatives as much as referencing them and making sure that this is consistent with the other plans. And then in terms of number 4, we can perhaps add the word preliminary assessments or summary assessments or something like that just acknowledges that what already exists. With those two minor adjustments, you can leave it in.
Madam Chair, I would certainly accept. I was just thinking as you were talking, Representative, on item 3, if we had summarization of road alternatives, assessments of preliminary environmental impacts or something of that nature would maybe do the job, or word it a little differently. But I have no problem with that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Gusendorf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What if we took point 3 and basically substituted 12 and put it there in three. Just simply, instead of discussion, say consideration of the linkage relationship between the Alaska Green Highway Master Plan and the State Transportation Plan.
That would probably do it.
I would accept that.
And then move 12 up there so that everybody can see what we're trying to do instead of using it as a tail at the end.
Which then would leave us with just dropping 3 and 4.
I'm just addressing 3 there.
Yeah, dropping 3 and renumbering.
Make 12 now number 3.
Yeah.
And just say consideration of the linkage relations between the Alaska Highway Master Plan and the State Transportation Plan.
Would you put that in the form of a motion, Representative Grusendorf?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Grusendorf has moved that we exchange number 3, or you place number 12 in the place of number 3, dropping number 3 from the resolution. Is there any
Madam Chair,
comment on? Yes.
And the words would be consideration of the linkage relationship between, and then continue on.
Yes.
If I can add, I'd like to do more than consider it. I'd like it to be discussed in the report and at least documented in a summary basis, the relationship. If you understand what I'm saying, I think you folks understand.
By reference.
By reference, and a very short chapter. These are the highlights of these other documents. We have considered them. This is how they mesh with what we're doing.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative
Grusendorf. I was thinking about that too. When somebody says a discussion is something that takes place here. It doesn't necessarily apply written. And maybe
relationship.
Maybe we should say, instead of consideration or discussion, something of the nature where a written summary. A written summary of the linkage relationship between them.
The wording that you're discussing, I think you've just about hit on it, Representative Grusendorf. In other words, number 12 be worded, a written summary of the relationship between Alaska Marine Highway Master Plan and the State Transportation Long-Term Plan.
That's good.
Mr.
Stan advised me that that's already in there, so that should cause us no problem.
Great. Yeah, we need a motion for the language that I just stated. Did you write it down?
Maybe should read it one
more time. A written summary or a statement?
Exactly. Did you write it down exactly? Would you repeat it?
A summary of the relationship between them and go on to 12.
Yeah. We still have a motion on the floor. We were discussing Representative Grusendorf's motion. Therefore, Representative Lehman, I can't recognize your motion.
It's an amendment.
Madam Chair, was
an amendment.
Oh, was an amendment? Okay. Yeah, the amendment to the motion was then, would you read it?
A written summary of the relationship between, and then go on and specify what 12 has in it and make it number 3.
All right, is there any objection to the amendment to the motion?
Madam Chair, I think, Wendy, we would not have a discussion of the relationship with a written summary of the relationship between the Alaska Marine Highway System mm-hmm. Master Plan and the state, not everything that's in 12.
Yes.
Okay. Any more discussion on this? Is it clear to everybody? It is to me. It's not clear as much. It's clear. All right. If there is no further discussion, the amendment to the amendment has been agreed to. And now we have then a motion on the amendment. Is there any discussion on the amendment? If there's no discussion on the amendment, then the amendment as amended is enforced. Cleared that one, didn't I? Now I have a problem with number 4, and that is that I don't quite understand the way I read this is what it would mean. They would have to go out and make an assessment of all the environmental impacts of everything in their long-term plan. Is that correct, Representative Hudson, the way it's written?
I think I probably was not looking for an in-depth environmental impact.
Yeah.
For example, once you've adopted a plan and decided, say, what you're going to recommend, say, like it's a road out of Juneau or it's a fast ferry, a preliminary impact statement on that aspect would be important to us so that we could know whether or not there was going to be a lot of additional monies or how long it was going to take or something of that nature. So I think Representative Grusendorf's idea of a preliminary environmental impact on specific items adopted within the plan is what I was looking for.
All right. Would you like, care to make that in the form of a motion?
Madam Chair, I believe what I would simply do is have item 4 amended to read assessment of preliminary environmental impacts and leave it at that, recognizing for the record at any rate that we're not going to hold them down to anything specific and that you kind of know what we're looking for there, Mr. Director.
And it tells me that that also is already in there. So.
Madam Chair, if I may ask Representative Hudson, when you say assessment, Representative Hudson, do you assume field work?
That's what
I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about, maybe we shouldn't say assessment, we should say a summary or a summarization of preliminary environmental impacts or a statement of preliminary.
How about preliminary comments of environmental impact? Therefore, in the very beginning of their planning, it can be just comments in relation with possible environmental questions. Because when I see the word assessment, I actually think of somebody in the field, actually.
Yeah, that's what was bugging me. I was thinking about someone going out and every time they made a new doc or something, you know.
Not, Madam Chairman, that wouldn't have to be done later. But,
right.
But just so that through the paper exercise of this, it could be just right.
Representative
Lehman? This is actually a word that's typically used at this level. An assessment is a fairly standard word. I might modify it, say, assessment of preliminary environmental impacts contained in the regional plans or something like that, because really we're asking them to document these assessments that have been done by other studies.
Well, I felt as though, from what I had seen, for example, on some of the roads and things of this nature there, that there had been done, you know, there had been some sort of preliminary assessment of the impact of them. I think, as a matter of fact, you made comment on one road that it would require, I can't even remember right off the bat, but would, you know, the concern was the advancing glacier, for example, of the Taku and things of this nature. I think until you actually get right down to it, as you've said this is the road route we selected, this is the time frame that we selected, these are the requirements. Then at that time you'd come to us and say, we want $200,000 to $300,000 to go out and do a detailed assessment of it, an environmental assessment of it, or environmental impact of it, and you bring that back to us. So for the whole purposes of this master plan here, we're not looking for the detail. We're looking for sort of an assessment of what the impact, even of the fast ferries, for example, see. And that's why I felt what we had in there was pretty good. If preliminary makes people feel better, I'd be happy to go along with preliminary, but.
Madam Chair, I suggest we change where we put the word preliminary to the front. Preliminary assessments of environmental impact.
And right, you didn't make a motion.
No, I did not.
We modify by just inserting the word preliminary in front of assessments.
All right. Representative Lehman has moved that we put the word preliminary in front of the word assessments in number 4. Is there any objection? Any further discussion? Hearing none, so ordered. Do we need, I was just wondering, do we need on number 12, in as much as we've placed it, number 2, do we need to drop it from the paper?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
My intent is that number 12 is to remove it, become number 3, and number 13 becomes 12.
Yeah, I think that was in your motion, was it not?
It was in my thoughts, it was verbalized.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Number 12 added too much for it.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any further discussion on the bill? I would like to make a comment on to Mr. Davidson that I have felt more comfortable since you've been director of the Marine Highway than I ever had before. I wasn't around when Bill was, so that's not denigrating you in any sense of the word. But you're about the first director that's gone out in the communities and solicited community comments and tried to accommodate them.
Thank you.
And I really want you to know George is darn well appreciated, particularly as you know I get a lot of screamers in my district.
Thank you. Madam Chair,
yes.
Can I make a statement also?
Yes.
I don't want this to be perceived as anything personal with either the commissioner or yourself. George, I also, as you know, we confer on a pretty regular basis, and I think you've certainly been open and amenable to my discussions, but I think this is an action that will actually assist you in drawing the wagons in a circle and beginning to set some forward directions into the marine highway system. And I'm absolutely convinced that we have to start thinking about what we're going to do next. Are we going to replace a $100 million ship, or are we going to begin to develop, you know, other alternatives? And I think a lot of your planning that I've seen there, I like it. As a matter of fact, I've adopted it, you know, personally as something that I really like. But I'm fearful that unless we get the bandwagon going again here, we're all going to be stuck in the mud.
And I don't think the commissioner or myself take it personally in any way. And I actually, I agree. I think it's given us the motivation to, you know, there's just so many things coming down the line that sometimes it's hard to separate out the priorities. And this is helping us do that.
Representative Lehman?
Well, you threw that conversation. But I interrupted a question. Mr. Davidson, are you doing all this work in-house? Do we have other outside consultants?
They had Boeing Computers, I believe. And, to say the contract was eventually terminated, we're doing it in-house.
They were helping with some of your modeling?
Yes.
And so right now it's all in-house, and your plans are to do, for the next 2 months, do all this work in-house?
Right. And we have, as a result of prior work, you know, we have computer modeling, which is in place now. So in addition to what you see here, we got tools in the office which are very valuable to the planners.
Okay. Would it be possible for me to have
full stack here?
You leave the stack?
And I can get you.
I'm leaving town, and I'd like to take. I saw two of these. I'd like to take
this one. Was a simple plan.
This one, I'd like to take with me just to
read it. He said he'd leave that. We'd have that information available. We have some empty space on the shelf up there, I see. And hopefully Labor and Commerce won't tell us not to use it. The chair would entertain a motion to pass HCR number 12 out of committee. Representative Lehman?
I'd like to have you.
Would you?
Sure.
You want some other support? Yeah. Chairman, I move to.
I'll let him do it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Then I might lose mine.
Is there any objection? Any objection? So ordered.
It's a committee substitute, is that right?
Yeah.
Commissioner Davidson.
After they leave, we'll talk about them.
See you.
Okay. We have before us now HJR 15, and it happens to be my resolution. I would like to turn the committee over to Representative Foster so that I can discuss my thoughts with you on this.
Sure. Okay, well, we have before us House Resolution number 15 relating to the increase in federal motor fuel taxes. Did you want to testify?
I certainly do.
Okay, you go.
Thank you very much. For the record, Representative Cato, House District number 6. And I have introduced House Joint Resolution number 50. The incentive to introduce this came primarily from the highway users groups, which gives us a good indication of what's going on in the federal situation. There is a bill being introduced by, just a minute, I got his name right here. Glenn Anderson, Public Works and Transportation Committee Chairman, has introduced H.R. 41 in Congress. this HR is a bill to have raised the federal tax on fuel and take that money that, yeah, it, no, that's the one, the same one as this one, excuse me. Yeah. Okay, I goofed. But anyway, the idea to raise the federal fuel tax and to make use of those in the federal deficit, to decrease the federal deficit, is something that's really, really scary. Raising the fuel tax, we see that perhaps we won't be able to stop. But to use that money to decrease the federal deficit and not have it go into the federal highway fund is can be pretty ludicrous. 15 urges the United States Congress to oppose an increase in the federal motor fuel taxes and the use. And that's where I think we need to really think about it. The use of the taxes to reduce the federal budget deficit. The American Association of State Highways and Transportation Officials recently completed a study which estimated that the nation's annual highway capital needs over the next 30 years are nearly double current investment levels. In other words, the highway fund needs to be nearly doubled in order for them to take care of what we already have, not necessarily build anything new. And if any of you have been down in the lower 48 lately and talking to different people about highways, they will tell you about the highway situation in the lower 48, particularly the freeways, that in 1990 the money for that will cease, but the maintenance money will also cease, and consequently what's happening on those freeways is that they're falling apart. And the states are going to be assessed themselves to maintain the freeways. It's quite an interesting thing. I thought about it quite a bit last fall. While there's no amount set in this proposed, and if you can believe this one, the figure being discussed is approximately 50 cents. When we consider that the federal motor fuel tax is currently charged at 9 cents per gallon, this increase would be disastrous. Not only to us, but to transportation as a whole. I mean, not only to the automobile consumer, but to transportation as a whole. And particularly the elderly and the disadvantaged, how would they cope with such a rise of 9 cents to 59 cents in motor fuel tax? And then again, one of my big arguments is the fact that they want to use this to lower the deficit. Various national economists, as well as members of the National Economic Committee, proposed this increase because every cent increase equates out to $1 billion. Therefore, that would mean an additional $50 billion to decrease the national deficit. Interesting, isn't it? Where they want to put the load. That's about what I have to say on it. As I said, I made a mistake on this other one. Ben Anderson has introduced H.R. 41 in Congress, which is virtually the same as this resolution, opposing any increase in the tax for deficit reduction. And that is the one thing that we all want to pay good attention to. That resolution right now has over 130 co-sponsors. H.J.R. number 15 would send a strong message to Congress to say that we in the state of Alaska don't intend that gas taxes be used to decrease the federal deficit. That's about all I have to say on it. I'm open for any questions, and I'll try to get my tongue right instead of goofing like I did. Representative Lehman?
the primary proponent of this proposal. You had mentioned Glenn Anderson, but I see that that's somebody who's opposing the proposal. Who is?
No, that's where I made my mistake. Right. Glenn Anderson has the same proposal into Congress.
That's correct. But who is pushing for this? Somebody in Congress?
Yes, quite a few people. What they're looking for, Lauren, is a way to decrease the national deficit.
Right, I know, but it...
And I can't specifically give you any particular names. Risa may be able to, but she testifies.
Okay.
Danny Quayle.
Danny Quayle.
Maybe he'll pay for it with those yen.
Yeah.
Well, I hope Risa was listening when I asked the questions.
I'm sure she was.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
She's a good listener.
Would you support this bill if the monies went towards the highway fund instead of the national deficit?
Oh, I don't think I'd support that much of a raise, but yes, I would support any increased motor tax fuel going to the Federal Highway Fund rather than trying to put it in the general treasury.
Okay, yeah. I see in this newsletter here a tax increase would reduce the federal deficit by 27 cents for every dollar of tax raise. I guess that's eating up in the bureaucracy.
Right. Yeah, that would definitely just go into like our general fund. The 50 million, if it went up to 50 cents, you know, if the Senate, if Congress adopted a 50% increase, with the idea that it would go into general funds rather than in the highway trust fund.
Madam Chair, do we know, or maybe Risa or somebody can tell us, what is the current federal tax on a gallon of...
9 cents.
90 cents?
Nine cents.
And the state's is 8 cents?
Eight
cents. And so they're talking about raising this from 9 to
59.
What?
50 cents increase. 59 cents is what
it would
be.
50
cents more per
gallon? Yeah, that's what I was saying. And that would raise $50 billion. 1 cent per gallon raises $1 billion. And that's why they want to do it to reduce the federal deficit. I'd rather see we're building roads with that.
Well, if they would take half of it and give it to the highway people, to the roads, and half of it to the deficit, I wouldn't have any problem with it. Because, I mean, I know it's tough, but when you go to France, and you go to Belgium, and you go to the United Kingdom and places like that, you do not see 89 cents per gallon gasoline. You see, you know, like $1.50 to, even in Juneau, you see $1.39.
$1.49
last time. Yeah.
Going to reduce Juneau's deficit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Alaska would benefit if it was shared back to the state of Alaska, because all of those big guzzlers down south would put the money in the till and we'd get our share of it, you know. We don't have that many.
You know, in rural Alaska, there aren't any roads. People would be paying 50 cents a gallon more for a snow machine gas or for a four-wheeler gas, and they wouldn't see anything out of it. I mean, there's nothing. There's no highway fund to slush into in a rural area.
You're true. Not true, but when you come out of the rural areas, you use the highways, right?
A lot of people just stay where they are.
I realize that. Yeah.
But anyway, I don't have any questions.
Risa, would you like to testify?
I was going to follow Clyde and say me too, but that's okay.
Okay. Clyde, you didn't put down what you wanted to testify on. I thought you were just going to ask questions.
I'll testify on ACR 12.
12?
Yes.
We just passed that out of committee.
15, I'm sorry.
Okay.
H2.
That's why I want the waffle. Not true.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is Risa Gerald, and I'm Director of Governmental Relations for Associated General Contractors of Alaska, better known as AGC by some people. We welcome this opportunity to comment favorably on HJR 15. Our 600 member firms are quite concerned about the potential of the gas tax being raised for deficit reduction. There may be a need to raise gas tax for our highway programs, as all the reports say that we need to be spending more money. But for deficit reduction, we do not think that that is appropriate use of gas tax. It's a user fee, and I have a detailed outline testimony in there for you of our points of opposition. But it's a user fee, and the user fee concept has been one of the reasons of support by the consumers of increasing the taxes over the years for their highways, the potholes out there, new access, things of that nature. One of the things I find most objectionable is that the western states, where we drive further miles
and use more gasoline, 34% by the way, on average, would be burdened more so. And why should the consumer of gasoline pay off the deficit, reduce the deficit? Why single out a single source of revenue? And for that reason, I urge all of you to support HJR 15 and also help it expeditiously passing through the system. Any questions?
Are there any questions of Risa? Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Risa, would HEC support a state gasoline tax?
Yes.
And
increase. We supported the one that passed the House a few years ago at 8 cents doubling the gasoline tax. Through the chair, I can't remember who it is pushing for the increase for the deficit reduction, but I can sure find out and get back to you.
Would you call my office, please?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, this Congress, this would seem to be a real controversial subject, and I can't imagine Congress passing something like this at this time. Well, what do you look,
we're part of a national association, and they have been fighting this for quite some while, and it has been quite a monster, because there are people that think it's an easy way to take care of the deficit. Amen, you know. And at first, when I first started reading about it in our national bulletins, it was real casual. We're just going to do it, and, you know, the consumers will, who cares? That was basically the way the old bulletins were reading on it. And we started whipping up, we now have a coalition in D.C. people that are working against it. And yes, I agree with you from a, you sound like my attorney in English, from a logical standpoint, yes. But Washington, D.C. is kind of like Juneau gets sometimes. It gets kind of hazy and gray, and things don't always happen in a logical fashion, unfortunately.
Would this apply to marine fuel, too, like on trawlers and stuff?
Just diesel and gasoline on cars.
Okay, then the marine fuel would be exempt.
The money that goes in the highway trust fund is used from diesels or from, you know, the gas station that goes on there.
Representative Hudson.
Richard, isn't there a tax on marine fuel?
Yes.
An aviation tax.
Oh, yeah. Right. Certainly there is. Right. And that goes to other funds like airport funds, federal FAA.
Oh, those are dedicated.
It doesn't say, it just says increase in federal motor fuel taxes. It doesn't say anything about highway fuel.
I think probably, Representative Foster, we consider motor fuel highways rather than aviation, because then we distinguish aviation. And what you've just said is that the aviation fuel tax goes to
airports
and stuff like that. So actually what this is just saying motor fuel tax, come on, let's put it in the highway trust fund, not do the deficit with it. Representative Bruce McNair.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Since you have been very critical of Washington, D.C., and you can understand that, but then turn it to Juneau here, we're kind of concerned. How would you take care of the national deficit? And if your options are able to do that, would you also do our state budget?
No, he said that would be controversial. It would seem, you know, the logic factor, and I would say it reminded me of my attorney in Anchorage when we were discussing issues that are going on in Juneau. Just go do such and such. Ha, ha, ha.
I would like to, if I may, make a statement also that since I've been really closely associated with the Alaska General Contractors plus the highway users people, we've talked about this for over several years. It isn't as if it's just something that's popped up, but it is something that is starting to concretize, and they're starting to do a direct beam on it, which and they, as Risa said, she would find out for us. Are there any further questions? Ms. Gerald.
Madam Chair, just a statement. I'm also, I think, concerned about reducing the federal deficit. I would not be near as adverse to this if there were some indication of some of these funds going to repair our roads and build new roads. I really wouldn't. I would see that. I think Americans have, except in Juneau, have gotten away with low fuel prices, and the fuel, that whole highway uses needs to pay more. But the way they're heading towards it, I agree with the resolution.
Other nations, it's a lot higher.
All right. If that's all of Risa, Clyde Stofus from the Commissioner's Office would like to, he's special assistant to the Commissioner.
Thank you.
would like to testify on HCR 12.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize for mixing up two resolutions. I'm here to testify on HJR 15. You have before you our Pacific Department's position paper on HJR 15. We strongly support passage of HJR 15 for all the reasons you've stated in your resolution. I have a couple extra points that I wanted to bring out. Some of the points may have been covered by some previous speakers, but I'll raise them again because I think they're well worth going over. First of all, there's been some polls done by the American people to get an assessment of what the American people think of raising fuel for deficit purposes. And the last one was done last year by ABC News, and 73% of the American people opposed raising gasoline taxes to balance the budget. Second point is that raising the gasoline tax would seriously hurt the economy. I don't have figures for a 50 cent increase, but a 10 cent increase would reduce the GNP by $10 billion. It would lower automotive production by 1.3%. Reduce employment by 80,000 in the first year and 180,000 in 10 years. A third point to consider when you're thinking of raising fuel taxes, who would pay the bill? Fuel tax is a highly regressive tax. It taxes everyone alike. When you go to get gas out of a gasoline pump, it doesn't ask what your income is. Everyone who, no matter if you make $100,000 a year or $10,000 a year, pays exactly the same amount for every gallon of gas that you get. So it's very, very regressive. Regional inequities would be created, which is the point that Risa just raised, so that Western states, because of the vast distances between communities, would be required to pay a higher percentage for reducing the federal deficit. I think from the transportation point of view, the most critical issue is that highways and public infrastructure would be reduced, the ability to cope with the ever-increasing problem of declining infrastructure would be reduced by this measure. And I think that the last point that should be raised, at least from the national perspective, is that, ironically, a major increase in taxes may not have a significant impact on the federal deficit. A recent study by Data Processing Incorporated found a new federal tax on motor fuels would cut the deficit by only 27 cents for every dollar of tax it raised. Because of its detrimental effect on the economy, balancing the budget at the gas pump simply can't be done and shouldn't be considered. We have some special considerations in Alaska that need to be taken into consideration. For every $1 of tax that is collected at a gas pump in Alaska, we get $5 back from the federal government. The fear in Alaska is that if we raise the issue, if the issue of fuel taxes raised at a national level and becomes and gets close scrutiny, that ratio will become a glaring inequity that other states will become more interested in bringing back in line. The second point that Alaska should consider is that we are third ranked in the nation, third from the lowest, and the amount of fuel tax that we as a state collect on every gallon of gas, third from the lowest. If there is any desire within the state to raise that, any increase in the federal tax would make it more difficult for us to raise the level of fuel tax that we collect. Third point that should be considered is that there has been a relationship between the highway trust fund and fuel tax that consumers of fuel have become comfortable with the fact that the tax that they are paying on fuel goes back into the facilities that they are using with their automobiles or trucks. This trust relationship would be put in jeopardy if you were to raise the tax and use it for other purposes. Fourth thing that should be considered is that there's a lot of activity in other states to cut back the federal involvement in highway funding. Alaska is a major beneficiary of the federal involvement in highway funding. Should the federal government go out and increase the fuel tax as high as they're considering increasing it for deficit purposes, we believe that the federal role in highway activities would be in jeopardy. Other states would try to get the federal government out, and that relationship is highly beneficial to the state of Alaska. That's all the prepared remarks I have. I did want to make some comments about some of the questions that came up. First of all, Representative Hudson, you raised the point about if there was some part of it going for deficit reduction and some part of it going back into the highway system, you would probably support it. I would ask you to consider the trust relationship example that I gave before. That is critical for us in the transportation industry to continue that trust relationship with the consumers of the fuel that they have with, that their taxes are going into the infrastructure that they're developing. Representative Foster, you had raised issues about whether or not there was this would include aviation fuel and marine fuel. This tax here is raised at the pump. So if you're using the fuel out of the pump for aviation purposes or for marine purposes, then in fact you would pay for it. There is an aviation and a marine tax in Alaska, but that's a state tax. That's not a federal tax. And I'd be willing to entertain any questions you might have.
I don't really. Are there any questions, Mr.
What's
Stolfus?
Your position?
Special assistant to the commissioner.
I would just like to make a comment on this federal trust relationship and other states not wanting to increase the tax and getting the federal government out of working with other states. One of those reasons, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, is the fact that they're 150 years ahead of us in doing their roads. They've got their roads built primarily, but you ought to hear them yell about the interstates when you go down to a meeting down there. But they just assumed that the feds got pretty much out of the controlling the road systems. And like I say, we still are an emerging country. We still need that desperately up here. And that's the reason why I'd like to see the Highway Trust Fund get a lot more money in it. Representative Foster?
I'd like to go ahead and just
All right. Is there any more discussion on the bill? Any further? Representative Foster, make your motion, please.
Also move. I move for HJR 15 for a passage with individual recommendations.
All right. Representative Foster moved HJR 15 out of committee with individual recommendations. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We'll sign the two bills.
This last resolution should have been geared a little bit more for Alaska, because I know in some of my village
book resolutions,
$3 to $4 a gallon.
One bill
and the cost of living is
two to four times
higher.
Yeah, we don't sign resolutions.
Do we have the committee
substitute
already or what? No,
but she'll just go ahead and make it. But you want us to hold it over. We moved it out of committee. Yeah. Which do you want, Ben?
Makes the difference.
Okay.
Being resolutions.
And it was just a change in words.
Yeah.
Minor change.
Okay.
Resolution is a resolution.
Right. It's a strong message as well.
We'd like to reach resolution.
Okay, if there's no further business then before the committee, why? He means adjourned at... God, we went a long time, didn't we? That's unusual for us.
I'm sorry, I was...
Have
really
I got
9:40? Yes.
9:40.
I'm sorry, I was late and I had the most important errand so far that I've done.
What's that?
I had to get some milk for my baby for his bottle.
You're getting married. How many kids did you say you brought to your marriage with you?
Oh,
eight?
Yeah.
He got married.
I know. I met his wife last night.
I met her institute at
offspring tax to reduce the deficit.
Yeah, he had to run out and get milk early in the morning.
Here's our one on Confucius.
Confucius
said, "No spring on winter, spring on spring, have offspring next year."
Oh, God.